About 6 weeks ago, Loretta put a wreath out on our front door of our house, and lo and behold, Robin came and built a nest on the top of that wreath on the front door. And so we kept checking. First, there was one blue egg in there, and ended up four eggs in there, and then they hatched, and then they filled up the nest with birds, and then they got enough. They were all around the edge of it on our front door. And so this is the robins reminding me it's a year of the robin, I guess. And this morning we're talking about the challenge of being patient, and it's from James 5. Verses 7 to 11. And I would like to start by referring back to last week from Bill Thrasher's message. And he taught us that we as Christians should not be conformed to the style or mannerisms of the world. He also gave us an amazingly good definition of the world. And I wrote it down, and I've just meditated on it this week, and I think it's amazing. The organized system headed by Satan that promotes a way of life independent of God. And that is right on definition. It encompasses a lot of different details. And so James has been teaching us to be governed by the Bible, and because he's wanting those that were under persecution and had fled to abide in Christ. He didn't want them to give up on Christ and to think this didn't work just because they're under persecution. They had to leave their homes and they go to a different place to live. We can kind of identify them a little bit with the changes that we've had to make during this time. He started out in talking about hardships in chapter 1, but today he's giving us instructions in his commanding way. He keeps using these imperatives, they're orders, and to be patient, but especially when somebody wrongs us. Okay, we need to be patient before in circumstances when things are hard, but now it's when somebody wrongs us. Now, I would invite you to join me in turning to James chapter 5 and verse 7, and then read the text together. And as I read it, I'd like to have us notice all the different times the word patient is used. It's pretty amazing. Verse 7, James 5 and verse 7 starts out saying, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. For a farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient," that's two, "about it, until the early and the late rains." Verse 8, "You too be patient." So there's a third one. "Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near." Verse 9, "Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience," that's number 4, "take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful." Now, we don't need to be reminded that we're all going to have trials and troubles. That's just a given. They're going to come along and we're going to struggle. But we do need to be reminded every once in a while that when we're going through challenges, we need to be patient. And you remember what Job said? He said, "For man is born for trouble as sparks fly upward." So trouble is just a given. We're going to have trouble. James wants us to learn to be patient when we're going through them. He reminds us that he is the source of our inner peace. And no matter what it is that we are going through. And so he said, and you might want to turn here, keep your finger in James and look at John 16:33. John 16:33. "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world, have tribulation. But be of good courage. I have overcome the world. That's why we can have peace. And when we're in Jesus, he's overcome, and we can raise above it. Now, James 5, in verse 7, begins with the word therefore. Therefore is a concluding word, and it connects us back in James to two things. First of all is in verses 2 and 4 in chapter 1, James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4, where he instructs us to be patient in circumstances. And then the second one is in James 5, in verses 1 to 6, where he encourages us to be patient with people who have wronged us. So patience with people is just as important as patient with circumstances. And so he goes on, he says, therefore be patient. Now the Greek word is a compound word, and it's very interesting. The word for patient, the first part is makro, the Greek word is makro, and it means large or long. And we see this in the word long-suffering as a fruit of the Spirit in the King James, long-suffering. The second part is thumos, which means hot. And we use it in the words thermos, thermometer, thermodynamics. So when we're mistreated by somebody, it means to keep a hot response in check. Now, admittedly, long-suffering... when we're under conflicts like that, is going to take the Holy Spirit to allow us to make that happen properly. But we need to remember that in James 5, 6, he says, righteous people don't fight back. And this is how he said it. You have been condemned and put to death. The righteous man does not resist you. So because the righteous man does not retaliate, does not seek vengeance, then we must not do that either. Instead, James is wanting us to understand that we need to keep trusting the Lord in the midst of the wrong things that people are doing to us. And that is not easy. The operational definition of patience, accepting a difficult situation as from the Lord, and here's the hard part, without giving him a deadline to remove it. But that's the righteous standard for the children of God, that we, whatever happens to us, we're going to keep our reaction in check. So we're commanded in James 5, therefore be patient, my brethren, which means that we need to work at it, keeping our hot in check. Now, to that, I brought along an insulated bottle today that messed Jim up. And the purpose of this is to keep what is hot inside of there contained, so it stays hot instead of spreading it all around. That's what James is saying to us. I don't want you to spread your anger and the things that upset you all around. Put it in a bottle. Keep it there contained so it doesn't go around and impact others. So what James is going to do in the rest of our text is to give us six keys that will help us to be patient with people. So the first one is anticipate the Lord's coming, and that's in verse 7. In fact, in our text, James mentions the Lord's coming three times. Verse 7b, until the coming of the Lord. Verse 8b, the coming of the Lord is near. Verse 9b, the judge is standing at the door. So I think we need to look at it this way, that if our holy God can be patient with us, unholy sinners, we certainly as unholy sinners can be patient until our holy God acts and makes things right. James 5, James 5, 7 goes on and says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Now, the Greek word for coming is the one that's used for the second coming of the Lord. But in the Greek, it means more than just showing up. We're anticipating his coming. Probably the best way to interpret that is that we're looking forward to the arrival He's not just going to come, he's going to stay. He's going to arrive, and we're going to be with him. And when he comes and arrives, all wrongs will be dealt with. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says it this way, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether it is good or whether it is bad." So in other words, if we're going to be patient, we got to anticipate the Lord's coming. And I thought about that. How do you feel when some family is from out of town is supposed to be here? You're looking for them, and you react to any time you hear a door slam, a car door, or unusual sound outside, and you jump up. And that's the attitude that James is wanting us to have. Look for the Lord. Anticipate the Lord and his coming. The second key to being patient is wait on the Lord like a farmer. Now, James 5:7 says, "Started, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil." Now, this is an illustration and not an analogy, because he wants us to understand it. The farmer plants, and then they wait until the time of harvest. Now notice, it goes on. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. Now I think that's really interesting, because the farmer is looking for something outside of himself if he's going to have a crop. He's going to need the early rains and the late rains if this is going to happen. My oldest daughter married into the sparrow family, and the sparrows live down on the Mississippi, on the Illinois side of the Mississippi, and they farm 1,000 acres down there of corn and beans. And I have learned a lot about farming by being connected with a farming family as they're there. It starts out in the spring, and often when they want to start planting in April, the ground's too wet. And so you can't get out there because your equipment gets stuck. And then finally you get the ground so you can plow it, and you get it planted. And then the next thing you're concerned about is a late freeze comes along and it kills a bunch of your corn that's out there. And then you get beyond that, and then it's too dry and the things wilt, and then it's too wet and it drowns them, and all the different things. And then there's hail and wind and pestilence and all the other stuff that they go with. And then when it comes down to harvest time, they let the corn stand out there so it dries out. And I said, "Well, why don't you just go out and harvest it?" And he said, "Because there's too much moisture in the corn. And if I should harvest it now and put it in silo, it would mold and it would rot. So we have to wait a little longer." Sometimes it's even in the deer season when I was down there. And they waited and the corn is there. And guess what happened? It rained and it's too wet to put the equipment out there. There's all kinds of issues that they have. And I think that is really an amazing analogy for us, because we need to trust the Lord as much as the farmer needs to trust the Lord. Because the farmer plants, that was in his control. After that, there's all kinds of things that are out of his control. And Jesus said, "Take up your cross." A cross is something that hurts you, okay? But it isn't something you do to yourself. It's something that is done to us from outside of ourselves. And so he is saying, okay, there are these things that are going to happen to you that are beyond your control, but keep looking to the Lord. Third key to being patient is to strengthen your heart. Verse 8 of James 5 says, "You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near." Now, strengthen your hearts means to make them resolute or determined. It describes an attitude of good courage, so that no matter what the trial, you can say, "The Lord will be coming near. You might say, he said that he was coming 2,000 years ago. And what encouragement is there in that? Well, we need to remember that for him, he's living in eternity. He's not living in time anymore. And for all of the time he's been gone, he's been standing at the door. And so we need to be confident that he's coming soon. Paul wrote to Titus and he said to him, "Look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." So that's what we need to do. We need to say, God knows where we are. God knows what we're going through, and he will help us. Then in verse 9, he says, "Don't complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." Now, the word complain means don't grumble or groan or criticize what others are doing. And I would also warn us, be careful about comparing. We can defeat ourselves by saying, how come they got all this good stuff and how come we're struggling? And we get defeated. So James is picturing Jesus standing at the door, and when he comes in, it's judgment time. Verse 10. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. And I think that he was thinking of the Old Testament prophets at that time. And the name of the Lord is, they spoke what God had said. They represented God. And yet these prophets faced trials. They faced hostility. They faced tremendous rejection from the people. And we can look at the prophets and we can say they were men of long suffering. And that's the idea that James is trying to get across to us here. So I just couldn't leave this point without looking at Hebrews 11. And you might want to turn there. Hebrews 11, verses 32 to 40. Hebrews 11, 32 to 40. And such a picture of what these prophets went through. "And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight." Verse 35, "Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also pains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death by sword. They went out in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and ill-treated." Verse 35, "Men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in the deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised." Now skip down to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. After presenting all of that, he says this, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us." Now let's just hold it right there for a minute. The sin which is easily entangles us is that we get discouraged and we lose our trust in God because we thought we were serving God and we're getting all this negative reaction. And he goes on, "And let us run with endurance." And that's what James is arguing for, the race that is set before us. So how do we get the endurance? Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Okay, those things that people are doing to us. And he's focused today on being wronged by people. when they wrong us, we despise the shame, but we sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so what James wants for us is to be like that when we're persecuted. The fourth key, back to James 5 and verse 11. Understand the Lord's blessing. It says we count those blessed who endured. We count means to, it's a common opinion that when people endure, there's blessed. I think it's interesting that the focus here is on people who went through struggles instead of people who did great things. Think of it. Those who are receiving the greatest glory are those that suffered the most. So God's blessings will come in this life and also beyond. Key number five, and to be patient, is realize God has a purpose. Verse 11 goes on and it says, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings. Now, Job was a godly man, and Satan came along and he essentially said something like this, I don't think you have one man on earth that will stay true to you. And God replied, yes, I do. Job will. And God then said to Satan, you can't kill him, but you can do just about anything else you want to him. And then he concluded by saying, I'll show you that there's one man that is committed to me. So Satan went after Job. And Job went through incredible trial. Just think of this trial. In one day, he lost all 10 of his children. He lost all of his possessions. All of his workforce was gone. All of his finances were gone. He was taken down to nothing. And at the end of that day, when he had all this catastrophe come down on him, he said in Job 1:21, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isn't that something? And so James is referring back to Job here. But if that isn't enough, Satan then attacked Job's body, and he was covered with horrible boils all over him. And his wife was so discouraged with all that was going on, she said to him, curse God and die. And Job said to her in Job 2:10, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Now this is amazing. Shall we accept good from God and not adversity? That's profound. Shall we accept only good from God and not adversity? And in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. So then Job's friends came to encourage him. And they spent a lot of time, and they were criticizing him, and they were saying, God wouldn't do this to you. What have you done wrong? And all kinds of criticism. And he responded to them and said this, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain my ways right before him. And then they continued on after that, and he in verse chapter 19 and verse 26 said, even after my flesh is destroyed, I shall see God. Wow, what a confidence that he had in God. This wasn't just a short thing. This was catastrophic, and it lasted a long time. So what was God's purpose for Job? I can think of four, and I'd like to share those with you this morning. First one was to test his faith, to prove that it was real. And that happened. Number two, to strengthen his faith so that he would see God more clearly. And we see near the end of Job, he says, before I knew about you, but now I've seen you. And so he got to know God more clearly. Three, to prove to Satan that there was a man totally committed to God no matter what. So it was to show Satan. And then fourth, to increased Job's blessings. God doubled all his possessions. It's interesting, he had ended up with twice of everything that he had before it was all taken away. And God gave him 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. And you remember how what it said there? In all the land, there weren't any women that were so fair as Job's daughters. God really blessed this man. And then Job ends up this way. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons, his grandsons, for 4 generations. And Job died an old man full of days. So when things are happening, they're not fun to go through. That's true. But what James is trying to say to us, and the same as he said to those that were persecuted, remember, God is up to something good for you. Trust him and go forward. And the key to being patient that James gives is consider the Lord's character. This is also in verse 11. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion. And the Greek word here, full of compassion, means that he has an enormous capacity for compassion. And so we take from that that whatever we go through, the Lord is sympathetic. He is concerned. He is kind-hearted. And he is looking for our best. I think it's amazing that the scripture says it this way in Psalm 68:19. Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burdens. What a promise that we have. And then in 1 Peter 5:7, Peter says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. My morning typically starts out with me studying the word, and then following that, I'm working my way through our songbook. And so I just take the next song that is there and I sing it to the Lord. And the day I was working on this, the song, it was the next one, the song, Nearer My God to Thee. And I thought, that is exactly what James is saying. Nearer, still nearer, while life shall last, till safe in glory my anchor is cast. Through endless ages, ever be nearer, my Savior, still nearer to Thee. I don't know what you're going through right now in your lives. Maybe it's a hardship of some kind in your family. Maybe it's stress somehow in your marriage. Maybe it's a struggle with somebody. Or maybe you've just got a lot of extra pressures at work. Whatever the trial is, I would encourage us today to remember the keys that James has given us so that we can be patient with those. Anticipate the Lord's coming. That's the first one. 2, wait for the Lord to work as a farmer wait and trust the Lord. 3, strengthen your heart through the scriptures. 4, understand that the Lord will bless you. 5, realize God has a purpose through it all. And then 6, remember that God really, really loves you. And I would just say this, if you have been in the past or are currently being mistreated by somebody, be patient, for a better day is coming, even in this life, as God accomplishes his purposes for you. And then let us never forget, we have the certainty of eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for James having a heart of compassion for those that are under persecution. We get a little bit of taste of that with this COVID-19 thing, but it isn't nearly as intense as what they went through. They got uprooted, they had to flee, and they had to leave. They had tremendous loss. Some of them were thrown in prison, some of them were stoned, and some of them were killed with a sword, and yet they continued to look to you and to trust you. May you find us faithful. In your name, amen.